The buzzer has sounded. We are headed to overtime with William Pattison on Fox Sports Knoxville. This is Fan Run Radio.
And here we go. Live on a Wednesday from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, it's overtime with William Pattison and Dawson Wise joining you live from Knoxville. Great first hour. Let's continue it here in the second. 865-288-3131 if you want to join us. Dawson, we're going to miss you over these next couple days.
Yeah.
Enjoy your vacation, whatever you're up to. But we'll be holding it down, me and Jace will tomorrow. Still got to figure out who's coming in on Friday. That's probably not good. All right, later on in the hour, we will talk about the Warriors, their dynasty. Has it bricked? Because Klay Thompson was last night. And we'll also have in the news with Dawson Wise plenty to talk about. But first, we've got Joshy Boy on the line. The Lakers get it done, and Joshy Boy calls in. What's up, Joshy?
What's up, guys?
How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Doing well, man.
William, I'm sticking. I made my prediction for the next round. I'm gonna go with Nuggets in six games.
Oh my goodness, Joshy!
What?
Oh no! I thought you'd come in with some Lakers confidence, man. Look, I like the matchup for the Lakers.
No, I agree with all the stuff you said, but I just don't see AD stopping Jokic. Jokic will get his, and I know their bench is not what it was last year with Bruce Brown, but I just see the Nuggets winning in six.
Yeah, look, I guess obviously the Nuggets winning, they're favored for a reason. They should win the series. I just look at it, and I look at last year, because I think a lot of people look back to last year and look what went down. And I think the Lakers this year are in a different situation and in a better situation. And I think if you get better production from D'Angelo Russell, you don't get the 32.5 points a night from Jamal Murray. They're also lacking Bruce Brown, Jeff Green, two guys that were playing big minutes in that series.
Yeah.
Now it's Christian Braun and Reggie Jackson, you know, Reggie Jackson, yeah. But they've got guys now that aren't necessarily ready to play those big minutes. So that's what makes me think, okay, Lakers have a shot here because the Lakers are deeper. The Lakers have better length. The problem is you've got to find a way to stop the Jokic-Murray pick and roll. I think Gabe Vincent being in the lineup now helps that, you know, helps that out, because Vincent did a really good job in the finals on Murray.
Yeah.
So that's what gives me an inkling that the Lakers can get this done. I think if they come in there on Saturday and beat the Nuggets, this thing opens up a lot.
Yeah, it does. So I played the Nuggets in I think it was October or November to win the Western Conference.
Yeah.
I got it at 4-1. Would you grab the Lakers to win the Western Conference? It's sitting right now at 11-1, I think.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
I mean, I would. Joshua, here's my thing on the Nuggets, and we were talking about it at the end of the hour. Them losing to the Spurs really messed them up because now instead of the one seed, they drop into the bottom portion of the Western bracket where they've got to face either the Suns or Timberwolves in the second round. Timberwolves match up really well with the Nuggets because they play the same style. The Suns are polar opposite, and they're going to make them, you know, run all over the court with that small ball lineup they run. And the Lakers, that's the toughest matchup in the first round outside of the Knicks possibly having to play the 76ers. The Nuggets have a really, really tough path. They're the hunted instead of the hunter. And, you know, Jamal Murray's been out for a fair amount of time with shin splints. As the playoffs go on, do those flare up? Those are a couple of my questions. But I'd look at the Mavericks to make the Western Conference Finals, Joshy. I'd look at the odds on that because I think they get it done against the Clippers, and I think they get it done against the Thunder. I think we could easily see a Mavericks-Suns, a Mavericks-Lakers, Mavericks-Nuggets final, because I think the Mavericks have a nice path.
You were talking about Saturday's game, William. Would you play the Lakers to cover? They're currently 6.5 dogs right now.
Okay, I saw it open at 7, so I guess it's going down a little bit. I don't know. It's tough because, I mean, the Lakers are going to be, what, on 5 days rest, would that be? 4 days rest?
Yeah, 4.
Yeah, 4 days rest, I guess. 4. And you got to adjust to the altitude. The Nuggets will be ready for this series, but I don't know. Do the Lakers come out and give that first punch? I think if they have to, if they're going to win the series, they've got to win game one, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I know you could win game two.
I was going to say, I think you could split and still have a pretty good shot to win the series in 6.
I know you could win game two, but I feel like if you win game one, that's kind of that, like,
you're
in the boxing
the
ring.
Tone.
You know, that's that first punch that kind of knocks them off a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're setting the right tone if you take game one. So, what do you guys think if Tennessee lands that forward/center from Charlotte, Igor Milicic?
Yeah, I heard some good news today on Milicic. You know, he visited on Tuesday. I don't know if he's still on campus now, but look, he's a guy that's something Tennessee has not seen before. A stretch 5, 6'10", shot very efficiently from the 3-point line. Kind of would be, in my eyes, would be coming off the bench most likely as a wrinkle, as a number 4. To go alongside Estrella and, you know, maybe whoever we get at center. But if he's a wrinkle, that allows a lot of floor spacing, and that could be a fun lineup.
And he can shoot the 3, too.
Yes, and that's what I mean. Stretches the floor very well, shoots the ball from 3 well. That's something we haven't seen from a center at Tennessee in a while. Maybe, I mean, I can't think of one. And that really opens the floor up for a couple of unique lineups.
So, this series with Kentucky this week, I know they like to play small ball a lot. So, if Tennessee, gets up by, say 4 or 5 runs, does that force Kentucky to break out of that small ball row and just try to play for the long ball and stuff to try to catch ahead?
Well, I don't know. Because of what you've gotten out of your pitching this year, if you're Tennessee, I don't know if they'll have to because, I mean – you start to chip away. We saw Georgia do it a couple weeks ago where Tennessee gets out to a lead. Georgia just chips away, has a really long inning, puts 7 on the board after being down 3 or 4 going into the inning, and all of a sudden now has the lead. And so, you know, we've seen it a couple times this year where Tennessee can get out to a lead and then their pitching just can't get out of an inning. And suddenly, all of a sudden, you're giving up 8-9 runs over a span of 2 innings and you're losing again. So, sell out for the long ball? I don't think so. I don't think Kentucky can do that personally. They don't have the home run hitting capability on that lineup to be able to sell out for a long ball. But I don't even think they'll have to. I think with the way the pitching has been, how uncertain it's been, I think they'll just have to chip away.
And what were you guys saying? They only have 40 home runs this season.
They have hit 47 home runs to Tennessee's 101.
Wow. So William, out the door. With this probably being Klay Thompson's last game as a Warrior, I know you mentioned last night that he could possibly go to Orlando. Could you see, the Lakers being interested in him? Y'all have a good night.
Yeah, thank you so much for calling in, Josh. We always appreciate it. The Lakers are an interesting one. Maybe 2 or 3 years ago I could have seen it, but now adding a guy in Thompson that's going to want a big payroll, I don't think the Lakers could, A, afford it. B, you know, I much rather have 2 or 3 complimentary pieces than 1 Klay Thompson at this point in his career. The Magic are the team I threw out because the Magic are desperately in need of 3-point shooting. They need a couple of veterans on that team. Thompson can come in and probably wouldn't start, but come off the bench and be a locker room guy, a championship presence. It depends on how these teams shake up. Because I think, depending on how the Clippers end their series and end their season, Paul George is a free agent, player option. Does he decide, hey, I've run my course here? You know, where does he try to move somewhere and find a better spot to go? Could that be the Golden State Warriors if they decide to move on from Thompson, bring in Paul George? I think that's a better deal than what they got right now. I don't know. It's just all hypothetical. Steve Kerr yesterday and we'll dive more into it here in a minute when we talk about the Warriors, but Steve Kerr was open about it. He wants Thompson back. Draymond was open about it. He wants Thompson back. They want Thompson back, but the owner's the one writing the checks, and he's the one that is looking over this roster. Trayce Jackson-Davis is the scapegoat for the Warriors right now because they think the reason why the Warriors weren't able to win this season is because he didn't play earlier on in the year. And that he, I mean, if that's your issue, if Trayce Jackson-Davis is not playing, that's your issue with this team, then this team never had a ceiling of a championship. So I think they should wave Klay Thompson goodbye, thank him for his time. While you're at it, get Chris Paul's little ass out of the door too. I mean, seriously, talk about a terrible, terrible deal. They've got, you know, $30 million with him, another 30. They could have a good roster with Draymond and Curry, rounded out with some pieces. Then that's a championship kind of team, because Curry's still a championship player. Draymond's still a championship player. Klay Thompson's not. Let's move into the Warriors now. Right on cue here. Was the Warriors dynasty, or excuse me, has the Warriors dynasty bricked? After entering the fourth quarter with a 15-point lead last night, the Sacramento Kings knocked off the Golden State Warriors in convincing fashion, 118-94 in their play-in matchup Tuesday, setting themselves up to face the New Orleans Pelicans on Friday for the final NBA playoff spot. With the loss, the Warriors are now eliminated from playoff contention. Keegan Murray, how special was he? Well, he was very special. A monster night. 32 points, 9 rebounds. De'Aaron Fox contributed 24. Harrison Barnes is very poetic that he kind of had that dagger three in the corner to make it from 12 to 15. I thought really kind of put the game away. Domantas Sabonis added in 16 points himself. Klay Thompson remained scoreless through the buzzer. You know, the floor's lava challenge.
Yeah.
I think Thompson was doing the goal is lava. Get away. Don't put the ball in the hoop. Curry finished with 22 and 4 rebounds, 2 assists, not enough to keep the Warriors afloat. Takeaways from the Kings win, for me, it's okay, I kind of underestimated this team. Kevin Huerter, who's, by the way, dripping on the bench. I don't know if you saw
him.
Look. Had some drip on him. Malik Monk, Kevin Huerter, both not available. I thought they'd just be undermanned. Granted, the Warriors don't have an influx of players either. But Keegan Murray, I think, was the differentiating factor here. 32 from him. That really sets this game away. Sabonis was better on the glass in the second half than he was in the first. Kevon Looney, we really did not see much of at all. And what I hated and what I got so irritated by watching the Warriors was how they kept playing small ball when it just wasn't working. Kings took advantage, and the best thing the Kings did all night was their defense. I mean, they sent a blitz. They sent a rush. I mean, Steph Curry had no breathing room. As a result, a lot of turnovers. So my thing is, how did – you know, I think everyone going into that game knew that the Kings were going to do that. How did Steve Kerr not kind of prepare for that? And is throwing Chris Paul out there really going to help? I guess if you're trying to get a secondary ball handler, yes. But when the Kings go on a 10-0 run while he's out there, you got to pull him out. So I thought it was really good coaching by the Kings, really good performance from Keegan Murray, bad coaching from the Warriors. Klay Thompson, Chris Paul, I don't know what they were doing. Dawson?
First thing is, you know, making up for Monk and Huerter, you know, I wondered as well, would they have the firepower? I mean, just without those two guys, would they have the offensive, like, push to be able to beat a Warriors team that, to be honest, before last night I thought had things a little bit figured out. Obviously, they had other plans in last night's game. They answered the bell. Huge night for Keegan Murray, like you said, 32. Big performance for him. Sabonis, De'Aaron Fox, they did their thing. I think we expected them to do about what they did. The big surprise for me, not really a surprise, but kind of the X factor, Murray is one of them. Harrison Barnes is the other one to me, was 17.
Yeah.
Really great night for him. And he just kind of, they picked up that slack. They did what Monk and Huerter couldn't because they were out of the lineup. They just somehow found a way to distribute that production and match what they've done all year. And props to them. It got them over the hump and got them a victory.
Yeah.
Warriors shooting falls flat. I mean, Klay Thompson could have his own segment on this, I think. But on a night where I said they had things figured out, they don't even make it to 100.
Yeah.
I mean, 94 against an undermanned Kings team. Several players really bad. We're going to talk about Klay Thompson later. But even despite a modestly respectable performance from Curry, you know, a few years ago, 22-4 for Curry in the playoffs probably wins you a playoff game considering what you have around him. It wasn't ever enough. The offense reverted back to what it's been all year, and they just were not able to find the scoring. And then the last thing is this weird split down low, and you kind of talked about it with small ball. Like, they started with Jackson Davis, and they go to Looney, then they all kind of, they split the minutes. Like, it's so weird to me. Jackson Davis plays, like, what, 11 minutes? Looney plays 9. It's just so weird to me that they kind of went back and forth on this. To try to match up with Sabonis, which is something, again, we talked about last night. And I said, start Jackson Davis, and if it doesn't work, go to Looney long-term. And they just never did. I mean, 9 minutes for the guy that locked down Sabonis last year? I don't really get it, especially after we realized it probably wasn't going to work pretty early in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Sabonis able to have his usual night, give the Warriors fits defensively, and it just – it never worked down low for him, and it was kind of strange to see that split. When you look at the box score, you're like, wow, that's really weird.
Yeah, in the fourth quarter is when I would have inserted him at the start of it, because at that point it was a 12-point lead, 15-point lead, and the Warriors, I mean, that for them, that's like 5 points. You know, that's a 2 threes down the court in 30 seconds, and you're back into it. But they instead – ran Draymond against him. You know, they ran Draymond, Kuminga, CP3, CP0, Steph Curry, and Klay Thompson. So they were running small, running with Green at the center, and they've done that this season. But in that instance, you know, Green would box out, but then in comes, you know, Keon Ellis, or in comes Keegan Murray for a tip-in or a second-chance opportunity. They just didn't have the personnel. If you have Looney out there, as a center, he's now boxing out Sabonis. And then you've got Draymond as the other guy, you know, boxing out or preventing a second chance opportunity. I just thought it was a whiff from their staff. I still think Steph Curry is a really good coach. He's a good NBA coach. But I thought last night was a little bit of a whiff. And as a result, they're now knocked out of the playoffs. Real quick, you know, we talked yesterday. We thought the Kings were undermanned. Sacramento gets it done. What did the Kings do to knock them off? You know, I think it was defense and them sending a blitz on Curry. I think that's the easy answer here. But what'd you see?
Limited other guys. I mean, Kuminga and Moody have 16. Curry has 22. Other than that, I mean, 12 is your leading scorer, and they have like 4 and 2, and obviously zero for a certain starter that we'll get to in a minute.
Yeah.
They did a good job of cutting off everybody else that normally, again, like I said, with 22 from Curry, would have won you a game. Picked up the slack. This is mostly offensively.
Yeah.
But defensively as well. You know, missing a guy like Monk as a sixth man on defense, missing a guy like Werder on defense. They had to fill in those rotations, fill in those personnel, and they did it.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm kind of surprised they did it. I didn't know if they were going to. Keegan Murray, can't say enough about him. I mean, just incredible. That's one of those spark plug type performances that they needed and they got, and that's huge for him. And they shot the three well as well, and that kind of put some pressure on Golden State and allowed Sacramento to run that blitz, because the Kings shot 46% from behind the arc, shot 18, made 18 threes last night.
Yeah.
Golden State made 10 all game.
Which is
so weird, because for a team that we knew could hit 20 threes in any given game, hit 26 a week ago.
Yeah.
Now hits 10 and their season's over.
Yeah. It's rare to actually know the moment a dynasty ends, and Golden State's blowout loss to Sacramento last night kind of seems like that. It was a jarring moment of just awfulness from the Warriors, who just couldn't get it to go. I mean, that's just the way to put it. A true low moment for the trio of Curry, Green, and Thompson, who might have played their last game. We talked about it with Joshy a second ago on the phone. Kind of, it's bizarre to even mention that group that we've seen be so successful over the last decade of the NBA now fall out. But kind of looking at these three guys and if this thing can still work out, Curry, he's still an MVP-level player. He's not going anywhere. He's the type of guy that retires with the same team, you know. So I think he'll be there for a while. His contract's not up till 2026. He'll be 38 then, most likely retire around then, or if not, you know, sign another one-year deal. Draymond Green, 34, under contract the next three seasons. He'll be around. Thompson's the odd man out here. One half of the legendary Splash Brothers. He's now turned into the Brick Brother. and, you know, I just don't see how they re-sign him. He's going to want a big deal. Last night, 0 points is brutal.
0-for-16 from the field as well.
I mean, hell, I played basketball up until 10th grade and realized I wasn't going to get any taller. I probably could have made 1 out of 16.
Yeah, I think I could have probably made 1.
Yeah. So he's going to want a big contract. Right. You can't give him that. You want to give it to him because of his loyalty, but it's a business. In every great dynasty, if you want to keep it going, you've got to make the tough decisions. And Klay Thompson's got to be the first to go. And what he did last night, I think, is a big reason why. We'll begin with this. Is the dynasty over? I think it still has a little bit of juice left in the tank if you make an adjustment by letting CP0 go and Klay Thompson go, and then reworking your roster from there. I think there's a little bit of juice. But if they retain both those guys, I think this one's over.
I agree. I mean, arguably the most uninspired and flat performance of this entire, you know, Warriors era. I mean, this just looked disinterested. I mean, at most, it didn't look like they wanted to win the game, which is something you just cannot say about this group over the last several years. Much different than we're used to. They just were not able to get any momentum, had no answers, and the offense was, I mean, pitiful at best. Guys are starting to age. Your production's falling off. Contracts are coming up. The window, it feels like, is teetering on the edge of closed. I don't see that winning potential with their roster right now. And really, they haven't had it in a few years, if you want to look at it that way. Where do you go from here? I mean, you've tried getting younger. You got some young guys that are starting to do well, but it didn't work again this year. So now where do you go? It's going to mean probably going away from some key pieces to even try to maintain this for a few more years.
Yeah, so now moving to what they should do with that roster. What should they do with Klay Thompson and really Chris Paul? You ever seen Toy Story before?
I have.
You know when Andy said, I don't want to play with these toys anymore? Klay Thompson, Chris Paul, drop him. I'm serious. Get him out. I didn't understand when the Warriors signed Chris Paul. I didn't understand it. Some people were like, well, they can play small ball. They can play off ball. I see that in a certain situation, but the guy's, what, 39 now?
Something like that, yeah.
He cannot be making $30 million a year to, you know, play off ball and pass the ball a couple times. You need a guy that's going to be a consistent threat offensively and defensively. Chris Paul's just not that at this point in his career. Now, if he cuts off that contract and, you know, takes a lesser deal to come back, then sure, like Russell Westbrook did. Sure, come back. We'll make it work. You can't have a guy like that making $30 million. No. And you can't pay a guy like Klay Thompson that much money either, because he's going to want around that too. You can't give him that. So I think the Warriors should politely say, Klay Thompson, we appreciate your time here. You'll have your jersey in the rafters here, but we can't pay you what you want to do. If you want to return, here's the amount of money we're willing to pay you. If not, you know, we'll see you next time. Chris Paul, too.
I agree. I wrote down for Klay, is it time to put him out to pasture? I mean, at this point, how long can you go on watching this? I understand he's done so much for that team, but we call him the Brick Brother for a reason. And last night, man, he went back to he reinforced it. I mean, completely reinforced it. Abysmal, underwhelming season for him, for that offense, and he's not the guy he used to be.
No.
It's very obvious. And so, at the very least, I mean, I would not pay him $30 million, first of all. Mm-hmm. If you bring him back, you got to cut the contract down, and I don't honestly think about moving him to the bench. I mean, you just can't afford to have him out there for starting minutes anymore. Chris Paul, I don't know how he was doing the things he was doing for Phoenix at 36, 37, let alone now that he's in Golden State at 39 and he's no longer doing those things that he did for Phoenix. He was your assist leader this year, but, I mean, what kind of solace is that? For the money he's making, are you going to pay your assist leader $30 million? I wouldn't. And so, I agree. Unless you're going to give him a little bit bigger facilitator role, There's no reason to be paying him $30 million.
Yeah, you said Thompson should go to the pasture, you said? Is that right?
Yeah.
I'd take him to the construction site. I think he'd do a lot better there. All right. All right, that's going to wrap it up. Wrap up this segment, I should say. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. When we come back, it's In the News with Dawson Wise when we return on Overtime.
Rev up your savings at Volunteer Auto Group, your one-stop destination for quality vehicles at unbeatable prices. Cruise through their vast selection of pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs. They've got the flexible financing options that make it easy for you to drive home today. Volunteer Auto Group, where every deal's a winner. 1501 Callahan Drive. Check them out online at volauto.com and tell them Fan Run sent you.
From high school heroes to college legends, First Bank is proud to champion our local athletes. But we don't just back you on the field or on the court. We team up with customers to score the wins that grow communities. That takes better products, more accessible, flexible bankers, and the quick answers and solutions you can run with. Don't just make the switch. Make the team that champions community. First Bank. Bank local. Get more team spirit. Member FDIC.
Are you ready to play hard and work harder? Are you looking to take the next step in your career with a company who celebrates hard work and appreciates those who do it? Then it's time to join the movement at Axel Logistics. Axel is looking to expand their award-winning sales team with logistics consultants who are outgoing, ambitious, and thrive in a fast-paced environment. If that sounds like you, visit axellogistics.com to learn more. Make sure you tell them you heard about it on Fan Run Radio. Axel Logistics. Now is your time.
Your tax refund belongs to you, not an identity thief. Over $6 billion in tax refunds were flagged by the IRS for possible identity theft last year. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. They monitor and alert you to identity threats you'd miss on your own, even if you're careful with your personal information. And if you do become a victim of tax-related identity fraud, LifeLock has U.S.-based restoration specialists ready to help solve your identity theft issue. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Let LifeLock help protect your financial info, so all you have to worry about is what you do with your tax refund. Go to LifeLock.com, save up to 25% off your first year. The promo code is HERD, promo code H-E-R-D, to save up to 25% off your first year. LifeLock.com. Identity theft protection starts here.
Life insurance. Why are you putting it off? Can't afford it? Too much hassle? Think you don't need it? There's lots of excuses for putting off life insurance. But if you weren't there, who would pay the mortgage and other bills? With Ethos, you could be covered in 10 minutes and boom, family protected. Ethos, fast and easy online term life insurance. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Some policies as low as $1 a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at getethos.com. That's getethos.com.
All right, back here on Overtime on a Wednesday night. Thank you so much for joining us. Great conversation so far. Time for In the News with Dawson Wise. Dawson, take it away.
We are starting in the NBA, and one of our favorite stories from a couple weeks ago, former Toronto Raptors forward Jontay Porter has received a lifetime ban from the NBA for betting on the league's games and also sharing insider information. The league said today that Porter, during his time with Toronto, privately told a sports bettor he was injured, then proceeded to remove himself from a game in an attempt to control the outcomes of prop bets surrounding his play. He also placed his own wagers on games across the NBA. Porter becomes the first active player or coach to be banned from the league since Jack Molinas back in 1954. It marks the most severe punishment given out by league commissioner Adam Silver since O.J. Mayo was given a lengthy drug-related suspension in 2016, and former Clippers owner Donald Sterling was banned from the league in 2014 and forced to sell the team after making numerous racist comments and engaging in racially insensitive behavior. The game in question was the Raptors' March 20th matchup with the Sacramento Kings, ironically enough, which the informed bettor then placed an $80,000 bet, which won $1.1 million for Porter to underperform in that game. Porter then took himself out of the game 3 minutes in, claiming he was ill. The report also showed that Porter placed at least 13 bets during his time in the G League, ranging in size from $15 to $22,000, and totaling $54,000 in sports wagers with a net gain of $22,000. So he took a page out of Kayshawn Boutte's book, I guess, in terms of that. There is nothing, this is a quote from Adam Silver, "There is nothing more important than protecting the integrity of NBA competition for our fans, our teams, and everyone associated with our sport, which is why Jontay Porter's blatant violations of our gaming rules are being met with the most severe punishment." That's a quote from Adam Silver on the situation. This is such a wild story. I mean, we've covered it. We've laughed about it on this show in the past. But now to read the report and to get to actually see like the timeline of events, this is insane to me. I mean, Kayshawn Boutte was insane. This is almost more insane because of the amount of money on this. Keep in mind, Jontay Porter is on a $415,000 NBA contract and netted a better $1.1 million, more than twice his salary as an NBA player. This is insane to me. It's become something that obviously we've seen more and more in sports. Calvin Ridley gets the one-year ban for betting. Kayshawn Boutte, obviously we've seen that entire story unfold. Several players have been now punished for gambling. And as we start to look at gambling, as it gets more public, and I know that's kind of what we talked about, you know, now that these networks are partnering with, you know, BetMGM and FanDuel and DraftKings, it feels like this is going to become more common for these players that maybe aren't, you know, a Steph Curry, a LeBron James, that they're kind of these guys that are making $400,000 playing 10 minutes a night. To me, first of many. To you, is this just the first of many of these types of situations?
Well, I think, you know, the NBA was going to crack down hard on this one because, A, they don't want this to be a reoccurring issue. And I think even if this were LeBron James, I think the punishment would have been the same. They cannot have this in their game. It affects the integrity of it. Excuse me. I was trying to clear my throat and I swallowed my spit. Wow. Okay. Just avoided a minor injury here. But going back to the Jontay parlay, you have to protect the integrity of the game, and the NBA cannot allow this to happen. So, you know, this is a severe punishment, but I think it's the right one. A couple of questions I have about his doing. First off, what are his units? From 15 to 20,000, that's a pretty steep increase in units. The second thing, that March 20th game against the Kings, as he checks in on the Toronto Sports Network broadcast, as he checks in, there is an advertisement for smart betting. I'm serious. So it's Kenny Smith. They pan to Kenny Smith, and he's like, remember to set guidelines and don't chase bets, yada, yada, yada.
Oh, no.
It's literally Jontay Porter checking in at that exact time. Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
little did we know, people watching Toronto Sports Network that night.
If he went back and watched the replay of that game, I bet he was sweating bullets when that happened. but the other thing, he bet on himself, but he also – bet it like, you know, all these guys say, like, bet on me, bet on myself. He literally bet against himself.
He bet against himself.
And there are a couple of highlights from that game. He gets a rebound and does, like, a 360 turnaround fadeaway, and it's, like, short. And you're like, what the hell is that?
Well, now we know, I guess.
So he also bet on – he had a parlay with the Raptors to lose a game.
Yeah.
I guess that's insider information. But, yeah. Overall, as funny as it is, and it really does make me chuckle, it's just dumb. And I think the NBA is saying, okay, there's no toleration for this in the league. If you try it out, this is the punishment now. This is the expectation.
Yeah.
Jontay Porter, Jontay Parlay will be the poster boy for that.
Farewell, Jontay Parlay, at least in NBA terms.
Maybe they could get his brother real quick before the Lakers-Nuggets series tips off. Maybe he had some involvement. Lakers, LeBron on the phone with Adam Silver. Hey, Michael Porter Jr., you might want to check him out.
Michael Parlay Jr.?
Yeah, there we go. Boy. There we go.
All right, next up. NCAA athletes will now be able to gain immediate eligibility to play no matter how many times they transfer, as long as they meet certain academic requirements. Now, a note that I went back and read, these requirements have not yet been formally announced.
I'm sure they
will. So we're not really sure exactly what that means at this point. The new rule was fast-tracked today to go along with a recent court order. Ratification is expected next week on the new rule, which will go into effect immediately. The transfer windows already in place will remain in place and will require athletes to enter their names into the portal at certain times to be immediately eligible at a new school. Graduate students can already transfer multiple times and enter the portal outside those windows while maintaining their immediate eligibility. A judge in West Virginia recently granted an injunction that lifted the requirements for multiple-time transfers to request a waiver from the NCAA in order to be immediately eligible to play. The new academic requirements will replace the former, quote, year-in-residence requirements that meant an undergrad transfer had to show a year's worth of being on campus before becoming eligible to play. Now that the portal windows are already open for both football and basketball, there has been a serious uptick. I imagine there will now be an even bigger uptick in players looking to transfer now that this rule is in place. We talked yesterday, it's kind of ironic timing, we talked yesterday about the fact that the portal seemed like it had devolved into complete chaos already.
Yeah.
This, to me, makes it even worse. I feel like this is just going to, I mean, now, because you're going to see guys probably play at four schools in 4 years because you can do that now. I mean, if you really wanted to, you could go from 1 to 1 to 1 in 3 straight years and not have to show a year in residence as long as your grades are good enough.
But that's a big F for a couple
of
these guys.
And we're going to have to see, again, what kind of academic restrictions they have. Yeah. That'll be very interesting to see, like, what the requirement is, perhaps, to be able to transfer. But to me, it's just going to throw this into even more chaos, more calamity, and you're going to have more guys in the portal. I mean, now you're going to – the portal was already 1,200 players in the winter. It could be 1,800, I mean, or more each time we do this, because there's less requirements. You know, to you, is this going to worsen the deepening issues of the portal as we know it?
Well, you know, I think that if you're a smart guy, if your grades are good, you're probably not transferring, you know, 3 to 4 times.
That's fair.
But you know, there are always, you know, outliers to that. I think there's a good part to it. I like that they're making, you know, because what was the UNC wide receiver's name this year? Tez Walker, you know, he couldn't play until the middle of the season. And Brew McCoy, when he transferred over, he struggled with his eligibility. He didn't get cleared until like a couple weeks before the game started. So I like that it allows now, if you've got good grades, you'll be cleared to play. I don't necessarily think now it incentivizes more people to enter the portal. So I don't know if it will – I don't think the chaos will grow. I think the chaos is what it is. I think this now just offers the opportunity to expedite the transfers, which you could say, okay, now more people are going to do that. The grade requirements I think will be interesting. And I'm sure what they're going to do with the way the NCAA works, they'll put it out and say that you can now transfer immediately with good grades and not put any criteria in there and just decide, you know, eyeball it when it comes in.
There was a note in the article about some kind of academic something system that they were thinking about.
Oh, good.
That was like, I read through and I was like, that's awfully vague.
They're good they're good at that. Just apparently. Throw in a mismatch of words that sound intelligent
very vague,
we're going to do that.
Very vague yet intelligent language is what it sounded like to me.
Yeah, you talk about, you know, guys entering the portal. Half of Colorado's team just entered in yesterday, too.
A whole line worth of offensive linemen. And the number one corner in the 2023 class.
Yeah, if you're still going to Colorado and taking that seriously.
That's interesting recruiting pitch, by the way. I don't know if you saw that or not.
Yeah, the Instagram story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Contact Shiloh Sanders and Shadur Sanders if you're interested in playing for Colorado via DM. That's the way to do it in 2024.
I guess that's the way we're doing the transfer portal now. Instagram DM.
DM me to come play. That's what it is now.
Oh, man. But regardless, we'll move down to the NFL. We covered the NFL draft yesterday, the Patriots in the NFL draft. Well, now the Broncos are in the spotlight. A new report from the Washington Post states that the Denver Broncos will apparently be targeting a new man under center in the upcoming NFL draft, which begins next Thursday. Denver has 8 picks in this year's draft, but none of those are in the second round. Their current first-round selection at number 12 may leave them with limited wiggle room in terms of who they select with that pick. If they want to get one of the more highly touted passing prospects, the chances are that they are going to have to trade up. And without a second-round pick to do so, many trade rumors and discussions have allegedly involved star-level players. Jason Canfora of Sportsline reports that both star corner Patrick Surtain II and veteran receiver Cortland Sutton have been involved in trade talks as the Broncos attempt to make that big splash and land on their feet following the Russell Wilson fiasco. Sutton was already not present at the start of voluntary workouts as he seeks a new contract from the team. Surtain, if you'll remember, was nearly traded at the trade deadline last season. But with Denver reversing course very last minute because they had started to win a few games. So Jarrett Stidham is the current tentative starter in Denver.
That's not working.
Not a permanent option. But they have been linked to Oregon's Bo Nix and Washington's Michael Penix Jr. as the first round approaches. Look, when you look at this, they already traded Jerry Jeudy in the offseason as well to Cleveland. So now you could be losing Sutton as well. That's your top two receiving targets to go draft a quarterback who then would theoretically have no receivers to throw to. So I get wanting to trade up, have a chance at a Daniels or a May. You're not going to get Caleb Williams. Obviously, you're not going to get to number one. But Daniels, May, McCarthy, one of these guys. I get it to a degree. But I would almost sit pat at 12 and take Michael Penix. I'm very high on Michael Penix. I know the injury history is a problem. And I know there's some issues, you know, with his arm a little bit. But I still would probably – I would take either one of those quarterbacks at 12. I don't know if I'd want to give up – I mean, Surtain maybe you could get away with. But I don't know if I want to give up another receiving target to bring in a quarterback who then you'd have to go get more receivers. And so, personally, I'd stay where I was. But, you know, as we look forward, they're at number 12 right now. You're the GM of the Denver Broncos. What are you doing there at 12? Are you trying to trade up and get a better quarterback, or are you taking Nix or Penix at 12?
Well, I'm looking at the order right now because I know Minnesota's a team that's in the market for a quarterback too.
Yes.
And they're in that Michael Penix, Bo Nix area. I think Bo Nix will go late first round. So I think, like, Minnesota's banking on getting them – at 23 and maybe getting an offensive, you know, maybe a better player at 11. I think Denver doesn't even have to move to get Penix. I think Penix or Nix can be a good, a serviceable quarterback, especially with Sean Payton there. Sean Payton gets his guy. I think he can roll with it. I mean, do you want to trade up and lose a lot of your assets when you've already lost a couple of them this offseason? If I'm the GM, I'm staying put. Give me Penix or give me Nix. I think both of them are good. Penix, I mean, hell, Penix had an incredible season. Bo Nix did too. Really efficient at Oregon. I know they're not as flashy and not as good prospects as the first four guys that are going to go off the board. But I think in any other draft, Penix and Nix would still be good options. I'd stay at 12.
Yeah, I probably would too. I don't like the idea of trading star players to move up. I mean, we saw what happened to Carolina, trading DJ Moore to get to number one, and look how that's benefiting the Chicago Bears, who now are going to have DJ Moore and Caleb Williams in a span of 2 years. I don't like trading up, and I especially don't like trading players to trade up, so I agree. I'd probably stay put as well. Last thing tonight, we're going to head to hockey, a sport I know we don't talk about much on here, but nonetheless, a very wild scene in the hockey world last night. Headed into last night's action, there were three teams still in the mix for the Eastern Conference's final playoff spot. The Washington Capitals held the playoff spot, while the Detroit Red Wings and the Philadelphia Flyers both still had a chance to leapfrog the former Cup champs. Washington simply needed a win in any fashion over the Flyers to lock up that spot. Detroit needed at least a point, so to take the game to overtime in their game. Oh, and a loss from Washington. Philadelphia needed a regulation win against Washington and a regulation loss by Detroit. In the end, both games played out nearly simultaneously. Down too late, Detroit made a heroic comeback to tie the game with under 10 seconds to go, tying the game at 4. They sent the game to overtime, getting them the point they needed. Meanwhile, Washington and Philadelphia tied 1-1 late. Philadelphia, in a desperation effort to try to keep their season alive, again, they don't know that Detroit at this point has gone to overtime and essentially eliminated them. Mm-hmm. They pulled their goaltender to gain an extra attacker in a tie game. Washington gains possession and scores on the empty net, eliminating both the Flyers and the Red Wings at the same time. Detroit caught wind of this during their game. As their game goes to overtime, they win in the shootout, and they don't celebrate. You see them come off the bench. It is one of the most disheartening videos I've ever seen is them just kind of perusing over the bench.
Moseying over.
And kind of celebrating and then just going on back to the locker room because their season had ended. In real time, it was about a 45-second difference between Detroit tying the game at 4 and Washington winning in the empty net. It was literally somebody went back. It was 45 seconds of real time. Making for one of the most chaotic playoff clinching scenarios in sports in recent memory. I decided to go a little bit more fun route and just talk about playoff clinching scenarios because in all sports, I mean, this is such a cool thing that happens at the end of the year.
Yeah.
You know, where kind of several teams have a chance to make a spot and then all on the same day, you know, somebody wins, somebody loses, all of a sudden you got a team leapfrogging into the playoffs. It's a lot of fun. This one just happened to all be at the same time. And it reminds me there was a day in baseball, and I know you don't know a lot about baseball, but in 2011, in the American League East, the Yankees, Red Sox, and Rays, or Orioles, Red Sox, and Rays all had a chance at what potentially was going to be the last playoff spot in the American League. They all three played that day. Now, granted, they played at different times, but the Rays and Red Sox games were on at the exact same time. It was something like the Rays needed to win and the Red Sox needed to win to get both of those teams in, and the Orioles would be out. The Orioles game ends. The Red Sox, you know, are watching. They have the Rays game on at Fenway Park. They have it on the big screen. Yeah. The Rays win their game in Tampa. The place goes nuts, and then the Red Sox win their game to make the playoffs. Incredible stuff. I mean, storybook type stuff. That is one that sticks with me just as a scenario where you're watching all these games all day, and it unfolds so perfect that these teams can both make the playoffs at the same time. But for you, what's the wildest playoff clinching scenario that you can remember?
Well, really, with the NBA play-in tournament, or with the, I guess, I should rephrase it, with the way the NBA is now, where the play-in tournament is in play, now every game in the last 5 games of the season are so important. And I know this is recent memory, but what we saw last Sunday was probably the most dramatic ending to an NBA season in years, because you had 3 teams all tied for number 1, and then you had the Pelicans that could have been the 6th seed, the 7th seed, the 8th seed. The Lakers could have been the 8th seed, 19th, 10th seed.
Suns, 6, 7, or 8.
Yeah. So you had so many different outcomes hinging on results from that day. And I guess it's not as wild because there wasn't like a last-minute ending. There was one 2019-2020. It went down to the wire, like overtime.
You're talking about the bubble?
No, I don't know.
Because there was one in the bubble.
Was one in the bubble.
So the Suns got invited to the bubble as the ninth team and had to win out. Uh-huh. They literally had to win out, and they did. I remember the Suns won all 8 games or all 10 games. They needed I believe it was the Brooklyn Nets to win, and I can't remember who they were. I think they were playing Portland.
Yeah, it was Brooklyn against Portland.
And I think it was Caris LeVert.
Caris LeVert
had a look at a buzzer beating too, because I remember I watched the end of that game.
That's what it was.
And he got an open look and he missed at the buzzer to lose Brooklyn the game and eliminate the Suns from the playoffs.
Yeah, the thing that was awesome about that was like in the middle of September, maybe not the middle of September, but like that was like August, September. You're watching NBA basketball. I loved it. I remember that. Rondae Hollis Jefferson, Caris LeVert.
T.J. Warren as well, right?
Well, T.J. Warren was with the
Pacers. Pacers at that point.
You had Jared Allen was still with the Nets.
Jared Allen, yep.
D'Angelo Russell too.
I think so.
Yeah, or he might have.
Was he in Minnesota at that point?
He might have been with Golden State.
Golden State still.
Yeah, I don't know, but yeah, I guess my answer would be the NBA. Just how it's been over the last 5, ever since the bubble,
when they put that in.
All right, that's going to wrap up in the news with Dawson. Great stuff there. We'll come back and wrap up a Wednesday edition of Overtime. Stay right here on Overtime.
We make it easy to save money. Get access to thousands of discounts on shopping, dining, and travel with the CNB Plus Perks account. It's a powerful new way to save money with roadside assistance, cell phone protection, identity theft protection, and credit monitoring. Banking at CNB has its perks. Call or stop by a branch for more details.
Citizens National Bank. Banking never felt so good.
Member FDIC.
Fan Run Radio is proud to present the 37 Club, an exclusive community of the lifeblood of Fan Run Radio. you, our biggest supporters. With a membership to the 37 Club, you receive exclusive content like podcasts, blogs, and videos, giveaways, and access to exclusive merchandise and events. So join the 37 Club today by going to fanrunradio.com.
Looking for a luxury RV getaway? Then come see Two Rivers Landing RV Resort. Just imagine a personal oasis on the French Broad River with outstanding amenities just minutes from the Great Smoky Mountains. Enjoy the quiet, private setting on sites offering unexpected beauty and tranquility. Unplug from everyday life and plug in to the serenity of life on the river, big mountain skies, and bucket list sunsets at Two Rivers Landing RV Resort. Serenity in the heart of it all. Visit tworiversrvresort.com.
Who's ready to watch your Southern League champs take the field for a fantastic 2024 season? All season long, your favorite nights are back, like Star Wars, Margaritaville, 4th of July, UT Night, and so much more. And don't forget, awesome daily promotions too, like All You Can Eat Wednesday, Thirsty Thursday, Summer Fireworks Series, and Family Fun Day Sunday. Get your tickets for your favorite night now at SmokiesBaseball.com.
Your tax refund belongs to you, not an identity thief. Over $6 billion in tax refunds were flagged by the IRS for possible identity theft last year. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. They monitor and alert you to identity threats you'd miss on your own, even if you're careful with your personal information. And if you do become a victim of tax-related identity fraud, LifeLock has U.S.-based restoration specialists ready to help solve your identity theft issue. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Let LifeLock help protect your financial info, so all you have to worry about is what you do with your tax refund. Go to LifeLock.com, save up to 25% off your first year. The promo code is HERD, promo code H-E-R-D, to save up to 25% off your first year. LifeLock.com, identity theft protection starts here.
Hey. Lil CC on that beat.
All right, back here on Overtime on a Wednesday night. We appreciate you listening along with us over these last 2 hours. The play-in games, didn't really get to talk about the ones tonight, but in fairness, not as competitive as the Western Conference. Right. Heat, Sixers in action right now. Heat had an early lead at the end of the first quarter. I think the winner of that game, let me rephrase. If the 76ers win, I think they can give the Knicks a run for their money, because I don't know how far they can go with Jalen Brunson being their only offensive option. If the Heat win, I think the Knicks could get it done, but what could be really interesting, Heat lose tonight, beat whoever wins the crapshoot between the Hawks and Bulls. They play Boston first round. And they just beat them last year, Eastern Conference Finals.
Be a fun rematch.
The Heat have historically had the Celtics number.
Be a fun rematch.
That would.
Playoff Jimmy's got 10 to start the game, by the way. They're up 28-22. Jimmy's got 10.
Don't say playoff Jimmy. I'm not a playoff.
How am I supposed to not after last year?
Is he not
playoff Jimmy?
He was playoff Jimmy in the first two rounds.
Okay.
And then it was
play-in Jimmy. Should we go with that?
I'll go play-in Jimmy. Look, I'll say playoff Jimmy for the playoff Jimmy was present the first two rounds. And then I don't know. That's a tangent I don't want to get
There's
down.
Still people that call Paul George playoff P. Well, exactly. See?
That's more of a meme. Jimmy. That's more of a meme, though. Playoff P is a meme because of what he
– I guess.
Because he – it's playoff P because he disappears. Where's Waldo? You know, he dressed up as Where's Waldo for Halloween a couple of years ago. Read the room, man.
Ironic.
I know. Read the room. I guess ironic. He probably did it on purpose.
Six early points for Tyler Hero as well in that one.
Yeah, they need him. They need him to be big.
Five from Jamie Jaquez.
Jaime Jaquez.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, they've battled injuries all year long. They lack a true point guard, a scoring point guard.
Yeah,
Damian Lillard would have been the right guy. Terry Rozier's nice,
Instead, he's part of the experiment in Milwaukee.
That's an experiment gone wrong. One of those, you know, those little fizzy things that just go all over the place.
You got to clear the lab after that one. That experiment went way wrong.
They got to go in with the hazmat suits and everything, clean up all that mess. All right, that's going to wrap it up here on a Wednesday of Overtime. We appreciate you listening along with us. William Pattison, Dawson Wise, we will see you again tomorrow.